RadioSaintPete.com.
Charlie Jewell, RadioSaintPete.com film critic, reviews Bridge of Spies, now playing in area theaters.
Most of the important players in Bridge of Spies have a cold at one time or another. Old-fashioned handkerchiefs are the preferred method of dealing with a persistent runny nose, and nobody pops a Sudafed or uses a tissue. This is a slight detail from director Steven Spielberg many people won't even notice. But then again, Spielberg is known for filling his movies with a quaint gesture here and a light touch there. The territory Bridge of Spies covers is not at the apex of the Cold War. I suppose the Cuban Missile Crisis owns that distinction. But it involves themes and characters movie audiences find particularly appealing. Espionage and spies. Employing expert techniques, including cinematography, production design, and costumes, Bridge of Spies is perfect at the science of filmmaking and bringing forth a specific time and place. But the art and intrigue side of the project does not pull equal weight. Bridge of Spies is an effective spy tale and legal game of cat and mouse. But it is not epic. We are never informed how, but U.S. counterintelligence captured Soviet spy Rudolf Abel, played by Mark Rylance, in New York City in 1957. We watch Abel, who on all accounts appears to be a more than capable agent, as he calls no attention to himself, shuffles around the city, stops to paint the local landmarks, and nonchalantly collects items from predetermined dead drops. His complete lack of alarm when FBI agents burst through the door, and the manner through which he casually disposes of evidence, is choreography at the master level. Everyone, including Abel, recognize he is caught red-handed and is destined to hang. Unfortunately for the U.S. spy agencies, that pesky document known as the Constitution starts tying their hands. Displaying their due diligence to comply with due process, the government appoints insurance claims lawyer James Donovan, played by Tom Hanks, to represent Abel. This should be an open-and-shut case, with Donovan taking minimal heat from the public, but doing his best to follow the letter, but not quite the spirit of the law. Funny thing about Donovan, though, is that he serves an ideal, not the gut reaction to the menacing Red Scare. Donovan and Abel share core principles. On the outside, they are as different as can be, a constitution-quoting, freedom-loving American, and a Soviet spy committed to the motherland. These two would never sell out or turn their backs on their respective countries. The CIA is incredulous when Donovan reminds them of the concept of attorney-client privilege and the Fourth Amendment. Abel declined the CIA's offer to turn double agent, which is why he is on trial to begin with. Donovan's pure intentions also leave his idyllic nuclear family open to harassment and abuse. His period Victorian house paints an iconic picture of an earnest white-collar professional, his supportive wife, and their three precocious children. The public does not take too kindly at Donovan's small victories in support of his Soviet client. Skipping ahead a bit in time, but presented simultaneously, the American man on the street doesn't take too kindly to Francis Gary Powers either. Powers, played by Austin Stowell, was the unfortunate pilot shot down in his U-2 spy plane, collecting imagery over sensitive Soviet military installations, a covert operation. John Q. Public is upset Powers didn't take care of business and kill himself on the way down. When Uncle Sam calls on James Donovan again, they want him to travel to Berlin, a recently divided city, to try and negotiate a trade. Abel for Powers. Already impressive, the trip to East Germany gives the production design a chance to show off some more. Berlin's Tempelhof Airport and Gleinecke Bridge return to 1961. The film's most stunning shot follows a grad student on his bicycle as he rides next to East German soldiers stacking stones, erecting a gray but sturdy division bisecting Berlin down the middle. The student turns out to be Frederick Pryor, played by Will Rogers, an American economics student writing his PhD on the wrong side of the wall. His sudden involvement in the negotiations will test Donovan's moral as well as his professional ability to succeed in international diplomacy. To show what Berlin looked like in 1961, still a bombed-out shell of a city, Spielberg filmed in Wrocław, Poland. I'm not sure what this says about contemporary Polish infrastructure, but Wrocław looks like a city ravaged by war. Pulling off believable, striking aesthetics is nothing new for Spielberg. The audience expects it. Yet, Bridge of Spies lacks a specific punch in the gut that the kind of stab you felt watching Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, the same punch you felt was missing from Catch Me If You Can and The Terminal. The Coen brothers, elite writers of punchy and piercing dialogue, co-wrote the script but left out their customary wry humor and lyrical spirit. The actors, especially Mark Rylance as Rudolph Abel, dominate their scenes, but in the end, prisoner exchange negotiations are interesting to watch, but they remain back-page commentary from the truly engaging, above-the-fold material of the Cold War. That is why I give Bridge of Spies 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Bridge of Spies is rated PG-13, now playing at Regal Park Place Stadium 16, Largo Mall 8, the Movico Sundial 19, and Cobb Countryside 12 cinemas. RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell, JUHL.com.